Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBluck, and I'm your host. And we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. We've got a very special show for you today, and we got a special panelist. Everybody knows and loves Scott Steyer, Army, Green Beret, Special Forces, Delta Force. I mean, just he's got a very impressive resume. And hey, We're going to be talking about some Delta Force stuff because everybody's familiar with what happened in Venezuela over the weekend. Wow, what a great way to wake up on Saturday. So we'll be getting more to that in just a second. First, a shout out to our sponsors. And guys, please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to bring this good quality content to you. We have our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. Also, ComplianceTechnologies.com. Our satellite sponsor. And yes, we've been on satellite radio since Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th. Also, we've got Aero Precision USA.com. That is Scott's company, our armed sponsor. We have gunlearn.com, my Medicare.live, safeguardrecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to them, we're streaming to over 1 million followers right now on social media during the live show. Twobells.com, they built their new online store at leoroundtable.com. You can get cool shirts like the one I'm wearing and go there. And we don't charge anything extra for the gear. We don't make a dime off of it. We're just trying to get our stuff out there so people find out about the show. And so go to our website, leoroundtable.com, in order to do that. And then finally, fishorlandobass.com. So Zach has got a bass fishing charter, and he does a couple things. He does the bass fishing charter, which is really cool, and I see Scott's agreeing with me, but he's also got the hunting the wild Florida alligator, and you can catch and relocate the Florida alligator. And Scott gets the call, Scott gets calls too, but Zach gets the call. And people, you know, here in Florida, I mean, you know, you got an alligator in your garage, you leave your garage door cracked, I walk out my front door, get an alligator outside my front door on occasion. And so Zach gets those calls. You go out there with them and catch that alligator, relocate. It's a great opportunity. FishOrlandoBass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and our very own Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, we're going to take up a little bit of time on the first one. The title article, Special Operations Forces Led Maduro Extraction. Yes, we're talking about Venezuela. What a just such a great time to be alive and to watch all this stuff going on. So yeah, we are going to dissect that, and we're going to help explain things to you. Make no mistake, this was a law enforcement operation. I know. Now look, Special Forces, we could not have done it without them, but there's a reason why they're categorizing as a law enforcement operation. It is critical that people watching the show get that point across, because it couldn't have been done the way it was done if that was not the case. I'll explain that in a minute. Also on our show, we've got BCSO sheriff, and we're over in Albuquerque, New Mexico on this one, announces the county firefighters, they're no longer flying with them in the air support division. It's because of some marijuana stuff going on. We're going to explain that to you. We got a burglary suspect cries in pain. I don't know if I would say this guy was crying, Scott. He was just like screaming like a little girl because of a little taser probe in him. You know, Port Orange deputy applied the taser. So we got that one. Body cam shows a stabbing suspect being fatally shot by Essex officers. We got New Jersey cop caught on recording using racial slurs, says that he can be fired, according to a judge. Montgomery County deputy shot an armed man through a windshield. Texas officer indicted for murder after an on-duty crash kills two children. Sad story. And then this is the one we'll probably take out of order. Scott wanted to cover this one. Police officer pinned and dragged by a driver during a traffic stop. Wow. So if you guys are ready, let's get to the first story. This is what we're all ready for. Look, the Wall Street Journal, NBC News. We've got other one, RealClearPolitics.com, RVMNews.com. I'm going to cover the first two articles. They pretty much, you know, to be honest with you, the Wall Street Journal and the NBC News, they really did a spectacular job of covering this. Special Operations Forces led Maduro extraction. So remember what I said about law enforcement, but look, we're praising Special Forces, and they really, it was their show. So listen to this. The U.S. operation that captured Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro was carried out by the Army's elite Delta Force and the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, known as Night Stalkers. And I can see a smile grimacing Scott's face as I read this. Delta is a secret special operations unit tasked with capturing or eliminating high value targets, according to our article. And it talks about the Night Stalkers. They conduct low altitude aviation missions. Today is the first time I really became familiar with Night Stalkers and stuff. I know, Scott, you know all about this stuff, but it's not really my world, right? So apparently they conduct low altitude aviation missions, often with Delta Force or Navy SEALs. They fly Chinook. Black Hawk, Little Bird helicopters. And according to the Army, the Night Stalkers have been training near Venezuela for months. The significant number of assets from the 160th were used in the mission. And we have a friend that was in the 160th. I didn't know that that's where he was at, but Scott did and told me before the show. And he so wanted to be on today's show. The Pentagon ordered at least 10 CV, tilt rotor aircraft used by Special Operation Forces. Army Rangers were there in the Caribbean before Christmas. This thing has been building for a while. We've also got, look, just kind of cutting to the chase here, this account, it was called the Operation Absolute Resolve, the most audacious military action in either of Trump's terms. I'll tell you, this is going to go down in the history books. They did a really good job, NBC. They did a lot of interviews, talked to dozens of White House administration and congressional officials on this one. As early as August, the CIA quietly set a small unit into Venezuela, and they were gaining intelligence, right, about Maduro's movements, all kinds of stuff. They even had knew everything about his pets in his house. Now, they're getting a lot of stuff from this guy named Dan Raisin Kane, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And so he's given a lot of information on this. The elite troops were trained for months, going as far as to build a replica compound, similar to what they did with Osama bin Laden. And so they were training in this, special forces. And they had massive blow charges in case Maduro made it into a safe room that was steel. At the same time, the Trump administration worked privately on the project for months, holding regular meetings and phone calls and briefings. This information did not leak out. So the more I read about all this communication, but it didn't leak. The group consisted of some of the people that Trump said are now going to be running Venezuela. And that story is taken on a different script now. But I know that Secretary of State Marco Rubio is going to be involved, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, CIA Director John Ratcliffe, and the White House Deputy Chief of Staff. We all love Stephen Miller, who fills that role. And throughout the fall, Trump steadily amped up the pressure on Maduro in September. They started sinking all the boats in the Caribbean that were sending drugs to the U.S., and they struck at least 35 alleged drug vessels and killed 114 people. Wild. America's most advanced aircraft carrier, the USS Gerald R. Ford, that came on arrival, and then the pressure just started mounting and building, and of course, Maduro was going on and taunting Trump. And it says it's so secret was the Venezuela assault that even the precise timing wasn't exactly known at the Pentagon until Friday night. We had two officials, they're giving this information to NBC News. And typically, they say the timing of the military operation would have had wider circulation. And also due to the wind and cloud cover in Caracas, that it was delayed for days. But on Friday, weather broke, full moon, skies had cleared, and there were acceptable conditions, and mission was a go. And then Trump, they sent out a message to all the military, good luck and Godspeed. That was from Trump himself. And they went and they got it done. At least 150, and this blows my mind, Scott, 150 aircraft flew toward Caracas from 20 different bases on land and sea. There were bombers, fighters, and reconnaissance, intelligence, surveillance stuff. They had crews ranging in age from 20 to 49. A 20-year-old getting to be able to be part of this. Are you kidding me? This is you can't make this stuff up. Darkness cloaked the Capitol. Trump suggested they cut the electricity. I was thinking from when I started hearing, the more I've heard, I thought there was maybe, EMP or something involved. I don't know what they did, but they killed the power, mostly everything. There was not much of a response from ulterior forces. Helicopters carried special forces and law enforcement. Remember, there's a law enforcement component to this. They plucked Maduro from his residence. Other aircraft fired weapons to disable Venezuela's air defense systems, and they cleared the path for the helicopters so they could fly back and forth free. By 1 a.m., U.S. soldiers had reached the compound where Maduro was staying, and it was a heavily fortified military fortress from what I'm reading. And then Delta Force, they breached the residence, and they take him and his wife by surprise. Maduro almost made it to the safe room. He couldn't get the door closed from what I ended up reading. And they took him and his wife, Celia Flores, into custody. And then there's a firefight that breaks out. Helicopter gets hit, but it can still fly. No Americans were killed. We had several injuries, though, on the U.S. side. By 3:30, U.S. forces were safely out of the country. And there was a smell of gunpowder and smoke filled the air in Caracas. And then the U.S. Embassy in Venezuela, they cautioned American citizens that were, you know, sheltering in place. And less than an hour later, Trump breaks the news on social media. So that's the latest and the greatest on this. I know that we don't have all the information, but Scott, I got more to say. And wow, we're coming up 30 seconds away from our first commercial break. And you get 10 seconds for an ear bite real quick, and then we'll come back to it.
Oh, I'm just... What an amazing operation. I mean, that's what Delta does. I mean, that's their bread and butter. And of course, they couldn't have done it with all the
more to come, guys. Support, stick with us. Don't go anywhere, Scott. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, as police officers, we get gear all the time. I mean, that's one of the things we do best, right? We just buy stuff, right? And when you throw the online option, it's almost limitless as far as your choices. But look, there are more important components here. And I want to remind everybody about what's really important is supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And listen to this, even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. You can see the banner behind me and the QR code as well. And look, I just got a pair of mission-made pants. They're making their own tactical pants now. I got my Danner boots there that are waterproof as well. And they've got all kinds of special things. They've always got sales and free shipping going on, and they have gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones, Gauls.com. Now we're going to be talking about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And of course, my favorite product they have is called the Glove, but they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low optics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Flagship product, we all know, it's called the Glove. It's helped officers not only tens of thousands of times, but hundreds of thousands of times. And it is considered non-lethal. They've achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3, the hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip and Scott sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the Law Enforcement Talk Show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Special Forces. We've got Scott Steyert, former Green Beret, Delta Force member. And thanks for the shout out, Kenneth Payne, and for the support on the stream. And we've been talking about, yes, we hit Venezuela over the weekend. What a great way to wake up. Now, Scott Steyert was getting ready to jump in here. And, Scott, when you're, we don't understand how Delta Force, operates. And I know that off camera, we were talking about how this has got to be something that you wish that you were involved with as former law enforcement. I wish I was involved in the law enforcement component of this so I could say that I was at least just there. Just the pride it just people must have after, hearing this. I say that, but then I go to the gym and I'm talking to people that are just like, I don't think that they fully are educated or get it. They're rolling their eyes when I bring a Venezuela, it just kind of angers me a little bit, but Scott, fill us in on your thoughts of this, where you were when you heard about it and the 106, all that stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, I heard about it like everybody else. I was like, I picked up my phone and I was going through my social media. But yeah, it was incredible. The more that came out on it and just like the amount of planning and patience and just the execution, it was absolutely amazing. I think it'll probably go down in history as one of the most complicated and successful missions ever done. I mean, it really was amazing. I'm not surprised. I know what the capabilities are. So I'm not surprised. It just goes to show, like, when you have a president who who's willing to let the military leaders like do their job and not inject like a political like I get it, there's politics, but once it's go time, there's no room for politics. It has to be done a certain way if you want success, you know, the most likelihood of success is like, hey, we need to do it this way, says the military guys. You know what I mean? They're the ones who do that. So I mean, it was amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing.
Well, I was going to say, describe to it the makeup of Delta Force. You have guys that have different, look, I know there's a lot of cross training, but you have guys with different talents and abilities too. Can you describe to us the makeup of Delta Force and why, and even with the intelligence component, and then tie in the 160th, the Special Operations Aviation Unit, a regiment, and then also anything about the Night Stalkers. I know they've got that nickname, but if you can kind of tie all that in and educate us a little bit too.
Well, yeah. So Task Force 160th or the Night Stalkers, they came about after the failed mission for the Iran hostage rescue attempt, Operation Eagle Claw. That was back in, I think it was like, it was 1980, I think it was, or 81. But
Jimmy Carter's thing, right?
Yeah. So what they found out, you know, one of the main reasons why that failed is because there was a capabilities gap with the support being able to get the operators where they needed to go to rescue the hostages. So, you know, the guys on the ground, they were training. The Delta guys were great, but there was a capabilities gap. We didn't have assets that could support us to get us to where we needed to go. So Task Force 160th came about during that time. And so essentially it's just like having pilots who, you know, they fly choppers and planes and all that kind of stuff. They train like we do, except, you know, they do a lot more training. They train more at night. They have specialized equipment, you know, it's armored versus not armored. They have, you know, different weapons on there. So they built up this, you know, they took that gap, they fixed it. They have this specialized unit. So now we have, you know, super, super highly trained individuals that are capable of flying in adverse conditions at night under NODs, all that stuff with specialized aircraft to get special operations where they need to go.
All right, perfect. So, and we're talking, do they have, well, they have stealth aircraft as well in that group, or?
I don't know. I haven't been in it for, you know, a couple of years, so I'm not sure what they have in it now.
But certainly Black Hawk helicopters, our buddy that was the pilot. Okay. And mm-hmm. So how would they, so Delta, now Delta, any surprise to you that Delta was the responsible for actually breaching the actual residence and putting their hands on Maduro?
No, I mean, you know, there's always this in-service competition between
us. Nothing wrong with that, yeah.
And that's good. That's all good because
there were Rangers there too.
And yeah. And the Rangers, you know, so it's like there's a lot of people involved that makes this a success. I mean, it wasn't just Delta, right? I mean, there's a supporting cast of pilots and intel officers and, you know, the agency with it. There's so much involved, right? Which again makes it even more incredible when you think about it, because you take all these units, and this is just years of constant training. This doesn't, you just can't like overnight say, hey, we need to do a mission, so let's train up everybody because we're going to do this. No, I mean, they have to be already ready to go. The core skill sets, shoot, move, and communicate, all that stuff has to be at the highest level. And then once they're presented with the mission, it's like, hey, you know, so-and-so says we need to go do this. They go, okay. I mean, all the little stuff is done. We're already, you know, top tier, our individual, you know, tasks are already there. So then you just collectively come together, you plan it, and you execute it. So,
all right. So we remember at the beginning of the show, I talked about it being a law enforcement operation. So here's the key. And a lot of people, you've got Maxine Waters and Chuck Schumer saying, you know, you shouldn't have done that without our permission. And so the framing is so important on this. And so you've seen Marco Rubio, who is just, it's so great to see him and Trump, just like, they're like this, you know, and that's so great. Because I remember when they were, you know, back at Trump 1.0, when Trump was running for the presidency the first time, they were up against each other, right? And it wasn't pretty for a while, but Trump is, is very forgiving, and we're guys, right? We can get in a fight and have a beer afterwards or whatever, you know. If this was framed as anything other than a law enforcement operation, then yeah, it would have been an invasion of a country or a regime change. But we have a guy that's been indicted in New York, and we're taking custody of that guy. We couldn't have done it without military, of course, but that's why they're flagging it under a law enforcement effort. We're holding the guy responsible that has been indicted already in New York, of all places. So more about that coming up, guys. And then we're going to get to some of the other stuff. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. You can visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, way back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus Bolt Action Send. That's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer, and that means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of the primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, spectacular. Don't settle for less. We can have the best. AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block. I'm your host. We're joined by Green Beret, Delta Force member, Scott Steyert, retired now. And he's been educating us on Special Forces, Delta Force, and the 160th. And it's been very educational, Scott. You know, I was bringing the law enforcement component of this because they've been very careful to classify this as a law enforcement operation that was backed up by the military. Also, taking into account that Maduro was not in the custody of the DOD, or which is Department of Defense or Department of War, but he was in the DOJ, Department of Justice, and that's the law enforcement. That's why the law enforcement arm is involved in that. Now, look, when I say law enforcement, many people think local law enforcement. You're thinking about, you know, police and sheriff's offices or the state. But remember, we have federal partners too. So when I say law enforcement, that's, you know, FBI, that's DEA. And so these guys, it's just so impressive. And they're categorizing it the right way. It's a law enforcement operation, which helps, you know, you've already got a guy that's indicted, a bad guy. You're just going and taking custody of him. And that kind of takes out the argument for starting a war, having to go through Congress and all these other hoops that you're going to have to jump through. You're still going to have congressional people that are going to be jumping up and down and screaming and yelling because they want control, or people like Chuck Schumer that want to know in advance so they can leak the information and jeopardize American lives and stuff. And Trump was so smart by not letting that happen and not being intimidated. We've all been there. If you watch Trump 1.0, right, and all the leaks and everything, it's just amazing. There was another news source when I was grabbing stories, Scott, and they said that it was actually leaked to the New York Times and another large publication. And they said they didn't run with the story because they didn't want to jeopardize American lives. I didn't run that because I really doubt that happened. I mean, there's always a possibility, but it was a liberal publication, and they always are trying to make Trump look bad. It's that Trump derangement syndrome. But there's another, saying, you know, it's Trump always, you know, wins, that TAW. And, but it's, in my opinion, it's more of a God thing. It's just, you know, Trump is just being used. The Venezuelans are so lucky that this happened and that it was done the right way. And we're not just going in and taking over the country and going to make it the 51st state. And we're going to seize all their oil and stuff. We're going to do a turnkey operation for them. And you mentioned something earlier, Scott, about how they had taken over our the petroleum industry, you know, the oil and stuff that we helped them, that we set up for them, and they took over the operation, everything. Do you know more about that?
Well,
do you
want I don't know much about that other than you know, we were in Venezuela working with Venezuela for, you know, to get the oil out of ground. We had American oil companies, you know, everything was good. And then it's finally, they're like, nope, you guys are out. So basically they seized our assets, even though it was on their land, but it was our investment that helped get it out of the ground and everything else. And so, you know, if you want to look at it in those terms, I mean, you know, we have a right to that as well. Now, I'm not saying that we should take over the country, we should invade. I don't want anything. I don't think anybody wants that. But this is our backyard, and they were sympathetic to communism as well as terrorists. I mean, there was actually, you know, Hezbollah had a section of Venezuela that, you know, that was given to them for training, for a place to operate out of in our backyard. And then you got, you know, yeah, and that's very serious. And they're sending all their, you know, their criminals are entering their prisons. Maduro did that specifically to disrupt America. So right there in itself, I mean, now right there in itself, that's nothing to do with the drug part of it. But I think it's even more serious because they're sent over here, and because our last president, he let the border open on purpose, and then all these people come in there, and so it's disrupting America. It's causing deaths. It's causing crime, drugs. It's horrible. So anybody who would say like this guy didn't deserve to be captured is crazy, and they're only saying that. But again, we're not surprised. You know, it's like if anybody that even criminals, if Trump puts him away, or if he goes after him, or if he indicts him, or if anything he does, they're going to back him. They will fly to, like, you know, El Salvador for a MS-13 gang member to try to free him. What are you doing? It's like Americans are tired of it. We want a country that's safe. Yeah, that doesn't have all this, that doesn't have all these drugs coming in there and cartels running things. And so, I mean, well, I think it was necessary. Again, I'm not for starting wars and going in and occupying. I'm not. But this is our backyard. This is a little bit different, in my opinion.
And look at the people complaining too. When you start looking at and I'm talking about the bad actors. You know, your Chuck Schumer's, your Maxine Waters. And what about Putin with Russia? What about China? China's upset, right? 70% of their oil comes from where?
Yeah,
Venezuela, and it's a special. It's got a special way that it's produced, and look at Russia and what they've got going on with Venezuela. So it's really disrupting a lot. Plus, we got foreign actors. We got China. We've got Russia. Iran is negatively affected by this. So. So they're, you know, by us doing this, it disrupts them and it gets them out of our hemisphere, which is extremely important, because if there's ever a war, let's say China, for instance, they're right in our backyard now, and that needs to be corrected. So there's so many good things, you know, about this, but so now we're going to get, from what I understand, we're getting the oil companies to come in and they're reinvest. Now they're going to have to have assurances before they put all the money into it again to make sure what Scott just described doesn't happen again. But we're really, from what I understand, looking at doing a turnkey operation, and they're only putting out a fraction of the oil that they could be, despite the fact that they're sitting on the largest, you know, oil deposit in the world, right? So they we're going to do a turnkey operation for them, give it back to the Venezuelan people, where they're cranking out the amount of oil that they should be able to do. They're going to be back at capacity again, and we're going to fix it for them. We're going to get the oil companies to come over and invest. They're going to have to get their money out of it, right? They should be able to. Why do it if you can't make money? Nothing wrong with that, but there is going to be so much money to go around, and no more people, you know,
living in poverty,
electricity and no food and water. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I mean, totally just agree. About the amount of jobs and the wealth that's going to be created in that country for the Venezuelan people. I mean, it's going to be incredible. It's all going to trickle down. It's all, you know, and once you make it nice and safe, and then, you know, the poverty levels have been lifted, you have, you know, tourism is going to open up. Venezuela is a beautiful country, beautiful people. The culture, the food, everything. I mean, it's just, there's so much potential for that country to just be just an awesome country, a wealthy country, and the people of Venezuela should benefit from that.
So we're going to continue to cover this on, you know, this week. When you have people, we're going to try to give you the information to shut people down that are the naysayers on this, the people that are not educated on this. And so we're going to try this week to give you a lot of facts, things that you can go that are vetted. And so that when people, the naysayers, people that are complaining about it being an act of war, Trump's got to take it to Congress, and all these misleading lies We're gonna arm you with the tools that you need in order to combat those people. Now, look, let's jump to our first story with a video. We've only got a little less than 3 minutes before we take our next commercial break. But Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. And this is the video for this Scott one of the cover. Police officer pinned and dragged by a driver during a traffic stop.
21, can you show me out with that vehicle at the vape shop? He's taking off.
Hey, stop! Stop! Stop the car! Get out! Get out of the car! Get out! Get out!
I'm getting out.
Huh? 421, have me start another car. I got trouble. Hey, get out!
I'm about to
get out! Get out! Put it in park. Put it in park. Put your foot on the brake and put it in park. Don't try and drive me off, buddy. You're gonna go to jail. You're gonna go right to jail. Stop! Stop! Camel! Stop! Stop! He's got me in the car! 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 Just stop! Just stop! Just stop! Let me get out! Let me get out! Let me get out!
So we're in Newton, Ohio. And we have a body cam. It shows a police officer being dragged by a car during a traffic stop in Newton. Jeremiah Ice, 20 years old, has been charged with receiving stolen property, resisting arrest, failing to comply with an officer, and other charges. And he ended up being pulled over on Newtown Road on Monday. And this is on December the 8th. So it's weird. I guess it's Newton Police, and it's on Newtown Road. So, yeah, pretty similar. So in the body cam, we got Newton police officers. They pull over this guy, bad guy, whose name is Ice, and he's in a parking lot of a smoke shop. And the officer parks his car and then approaches the driver's side and tells the other units that the driver's attempting to flee. There's also three passengers in the vehicle that you can't necessarily see at this time. And so the officer's saying, hey, stop, stop. And he opens the driver's door. Now, Ice initially tells the officer that he'll exit, but then the officer proceeds to tell him to calm down. And as the officer's telling him to put the vehicle in park, instead, Ice puts it in reverse and attempts to back away. And the officer said, hey, don't try to drive off, buddy. Or you're going to go to jail. And Ice continues to reverse the car. And now the officer's yelling, hey, he's got me in the car. And the officer's being, you know, drugged backwards. And then he pins the officer between the driver's door and the body of the car, causing minor injuries to the officer's leg and hip. And when I say Ice, it's not customs. It's our bad guy. He eventually stops and allows the officer to remove himself. And then he drives forward. And the Newtown Police Chief Tom Sinnen said that, hey, we are fortunate and very glad this incident ended with only minor injuries. All took accountability and in the end made the right decision. So they kind of like, we hate to see officers get in a position where they're getting drugged by cars, but the chief says he's confident there will be lessons learned, which is the good thing to say. Ice remains in the jail on a $10,000 bond, and he's expected to be back in court. So that's where this ends. And we're going to come back right after this commercial break, and Scott's going to break this down for us, and we're going to be talking about the glove and how it would have been. So, guys, commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. If you're a chief or sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more info. Again, gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Delta Force and Green Beret Special Forces, Scott Steyert with Arrow Precision. And we just got done talking about a story. There's a video component to it, but police officer gets pinned and dragged by a driver during a traffic stop, and it's in Newton, Ohio. And Scott, you were getting ready to break it down for us. So go ahead, buddy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you start talking about tools and techniques that will help law enforcement officers do their job, all right, and be very effective at the same time, obviously protecting them and also protecting the individuals, the bad guys, which is, I know it's crazy to think, but when you talk about the glove, which is very safe, has been used, over, I think it's like, 200,000?
Over 250,000 now.
250,000 times, no incident, no major, I don't think
any. No injuries, no deaths.
Injuries at all.
Yeah.
Okay, so like in a case of like getting somebody out of a vehicle, the glove is money. It works so well because the guys, you have the guy's hands, they're exposed, they're on the steering wheel. That's obviously, you want to get a hold of his hands. If you had on the gloves in that situation, you had the glove, it was activated, he could have grabbed the driver's hand, and I would put a month's paycheck that guy would have got out of the car. I mean, and he wouldn't even have fought it, because you can't,
right?
Because it's so effective. The stimulation and the effects of it and the pain that it induces, and it's right on your hands, which is actually four times more painful than anywhere, than other places, like on your arm and your leg and stuff like that. So you grab a hold of the hands, and it, which is a technique to get hands off the steering wheel. You grab it and you kind of twist it, you open it up through the gate there, and you do that at the same time using that technique with a glove on, stimulates the hand. The guy's going to get out. It's
vehicle extractions is what they is
vehicle
what that
extraction is
at.
Money. And if the officer had to, for whatever reason, somebody in the car got, presents a weapon of some type or whatever, you can still, with the gloves activated on, go down, grab your sidearm. You can shoot if you have to. It's not a big deal. It's awesome. I don't know. Again, I just don't understand why every law enforcement officer in America does not have some gloves and an Arrow Precision short barrel rifle.
There you go. Yeah. No, you're right. And it's going to get to the point to where if they don't, and speaking about the glove, it's affordable. And now it lowers the liability for not only the agency, but for the individual officer as well. So it's really a no-brainer. They're doing it the right way, because even as an individual officer, it's gonna be owned by the agency, not by the officer. So, but it's a liability cure, So you're gonna have to go to the court and explain to a judge, when you have a use of force incident that gets out of hand, or maybe a bad guy dies, you're gonna have to explain to the judge why you didn't have the tool that would have prevented all that from happening. And when Scott talks about bad guys being their safety being our responsibility, he is absolutely right. And I'm assuming that it's the same for the military as well. You've got that person, you are responsible for the safety of that individual. Even if they're a bad actor and they're wearing handcuffs or zip ties, you are now responsible for their safety. And
absolutely. Absolutely. And hey, it's like one of those things where at that moment, that individual is like, oh my God, this is a lot of pain. I'm just going to do what he says. We are helping that person make the right decision, because that guy was able to put the vehicle in reverse, drive off, potentially could have harmed or even killed the officer, depending on how bad he was stuck, if he was run over when he was trying to get away. Again, all that would have been. So just the having those on and using them correctly, being able to reduce the amount of workman's comp for police officers as well, because you're not going to have officers that are getting injured near as much, because you're stopping the incident within a few seconds instead of a few minutes.
And the longer things go on, the higher the percentage of something bad happening, right? The bad guys, instead of him thinking about what he can do next, he's thinking about what can I do to alleviate this pain, So,
yeah, exactly. And if you get to number two, there's another very good case in point there.
I got it in front of me right now. Rumble.com. This is Butter, our favorite law enforcement video channel. Body cam shows a stabbing suspect being fatally shot by Essex police officers.
Who's at the door? Who's at the door? Come
here. Put your hands
up. Put your knife down. Put your knife down. Put your knife down. Put your knife down.
Put your
fucking knife down.
So, and that's what you're talking about, right, Scott?
That's right.
Back on December the 3rd of 2025. Baltimore County Police, they respond to a 911 call about a reported stabbing. And so once the police get there, they encounter a guy, Howard Size, 31 years old. He's armed with a knife. He walks out of the apartment, and they're in a stairwell, and multiple, I couldn't even count the number of cops that were there, but it's a stairwell. So you can only have one or two cops like right there outside that front door, and everybody else is like stacked up on the stairs. The guy walks out. He's got a cigarette in his mouth. His right hand's free. The left hand has got like some piece of like a mail or paper in there with a knife. And so he ignores verbal commands given by the police, and, you know, to drop the knife. And so you kind of leave it out. So I'm going to cut to the chase here. Our officer that's the closest, and we're watching his body cam first. Our officer reaches and he grabs the bad guy's left hand, and he puts his hand around the bad guy's hand, but he's also looks like he's got his hand on the knife as well. And there's some paper involved there. It said that one of the officers had to go to the hospital too. I suspect that that would be the officer, and I suspect he got cut with the knife. While the cop's doing that, in his right hand, he looks like he's got a Glock, you know, pistol, you know, pointed at our bad guy as well. And they're telling him to drop it. So anyhow, if you remember, you know, what I said, the bad guy had his right hand free. Our cop has got both hands occupied. One hand has got, he can't let go of the knife because he's going to get stabbed. He's got a firearm like this, and the bad guy's got one free hand. And he takes his right hand and he goes and he punches the officer that's got the gun and the hand on the knife. Officer releases and fires and takes out the bad guy. Ton of blood and stuff, but that's the way that it goes down. Scott, the floor, you got 3 minutes. The floor is yours.
Okay, 3 minutes here. That guy comes out. And again, let's just go back. If the officer had gloves on, activated, puts his hand on the hand that has the knife on it. I would say that more than likely, I'd have put a month's paycheck. That guy would have complied. He would have probably hit the ground, certainly would have dropped the gun. And so right there could have been de-escalated to a point. Everything would have worked out fine. The bad guy, maybe he was, you know, a bad day for him. He's dead now. Okay. And it was a good shoot. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if the glove was on, the hand with the knife, he probably would have released the knife for sure. He would have complied. He would have hit the ground. I know I've been stimulated many times, and you just want to get into the fetal position and you want to stop. Okay. Also, it's another level of protection. Most officers wear gloves anyhow because of blood and, you know, what, you know, all the
needles
and HIV and needles and all kinds of stuff. Right. So just having those gloves on is already, I mean, like I said, officers already use them most of the time anyhow. And you can easily put like, some latex gloves underneath. And we also sell compliance sales gloves that stop fentanyl for 4 hours. So, I mean, you could have that underneath it. It's a level of protection you have, but it would have de-escalated that to a point where it would have been a much different outcome for sure.
Agreed. Yeah. So when people watch the video, it's kind of hard to describe. And I know with Scott, with the special forces, you know, he gets it. You're in a stairwell, a bad guy shows up with a knife. And I know people are thinking, well, why are we talking about, why are we grabbing knives or using a glove in a close quarter? And the close quarter is the reason why. There are some times when a bad guy produces a weapon, you are better off. And maybe you may not, you'll know it. If you're in the situation, you'll get it. But you're better off, you're quicker and faster, and your chances of success are higher if you simply grab on that. Otherwise, you're having to try to create distance if you even can. And then you're trying to go for your weapon as well. Mm-hmm. All that takes time. And there's a lot of components in there that you just don't have control over. So yeah, sometimes all of a sudden you're in a fight and somebody produces a knife or a gun. Sometimes you're better off just going for it and trying to lock that up. I don't fault the officer for doing that, especially how close quarters it was.
Oh yeah.
And if he would have had the glove, dude, game over. Game over on that particular situation.
Game over. And he still wouldn't been able to have, you know, his pistol in one hand because, again,
correct,
doesn't transfer the electricity through an object, whether it's metal object or not, doesn't do any of that.
Right.
So, and you're right, because of the proximity, literally the stairwell was so compressed in there, and he opened the door and he was reacting to what he saw. I mean, I would have done the same thing. I mean, it was like instinct, like, oh my God, like he put his hand down there because he saw the knife. So
yeah, I had a female that had a knife in each hand at one call I was on, and I was so close to her that I was able to grab. I just grabbed both wrists at the same time. I had a partner that was lethal, but I was able to do that. That is nothing I would ever advise people to do. But sometimes you're just in the right moment, right time, and it's just you're just better off doing it that way. So yeah, kudos to the officer. Hey Scott, you killed it today. Thank you so much for being on the day show. We're going to continue to cover this stuff as well. I appreciate it. You added a lot to the show. I want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Please support Randy Sutton's 501c3. Again, our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, and Medicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, and FisherOrlandoBass.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.